This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Bismillahi walhamdulillahi wassalatu wassalamu ala rasulillahi wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. We had a great evening and alhamdulillah we cracked a few jokes, we had a quiz, we had the opportunity to donate and we donated to good causes starting with Gaza, Lebanon and so many other places, all for the sake of Allah. Beautiful crowd, lovely brothers and sisters seated here. And wallahi, it is so beautiful in this particular venue in Birmingham. Alhamdulillah. My brothers and sisters, Allah has favored us with so many favors. I've been speaking about the favors of Allah because in the Quran He says, وَإِن تَعُدُّوا نِعْمَةَ اللَّهِ لَا تُحْصُوهَا. If you are going to count the favors of Allah on you, you will not be able to count them all. So the biggest favor is the fact that He's guided us towards Him. We are believers, we believe in our Maker, we worship Him alone. We are part of the Ummah of Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That's the biggest favor. Allah's guided you. In fact, the dua or supplication that is repeated the most on earth. Does anyone know it? A dua or a supplication that is repeated billions of times a day on earth. What is the dua? Ihdina as-sirata al-mustaqim, sirata al-ladhina an'amta alayhim. The dua that's repeated the most is ihdina as-sirata al-mustaqim, guide us to the straight path. Why? In every unit of your prayer, you read Suratul Fatiha. And in that surah, the dua is all about, oh our Lord, guide us to the straight path. So that would mean that the biggest favor of Allah upon you ever would be guidance to the straight path. That's why I say, you want to count the favors of Allah, start off by saying, He's guided me. Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar. Thereafter, there are so many other favors. Yesterday, I spoke about a favor of Allah while we were in Gloucester. And I mentioned repentance, forgiveness, seeking the forgiveness of Allah. He's favored us by allowing us to say, I'm sorry, I was wrong, forgive me. And Him in return becoming happy and saying to us, I have forgiven you. And saying to us, if you change your ways and habits that were bad and negative and become a better person, I will convert the bad that you did into good on the scale of the day of judgment. That's a favor of Allah. Imagine if you were not allowed to say, I'm sorry. I mean, they do that to us a lot. If you were over speeding and they give you a fine, you can't just go and say, I'm sorry. They will multiply that fine, right? People don't accept it. I'm sorry. You can't just apologize for anything and everything. But at times, you find that certain people will accept an apology depending on what you did and depending on who they are too. With Allah, He says, there is no case and no way that someone repents to me from anything they've done, no matter what it was, and I don't forgive them for as long as they were sincere. There's no chance. No matter what you've done, Allah says, for as long as you've apologized and for as long as you've sought forgiveness, I will always forgive you, no matter what, even from shirk. What is shirk? When you associate partners with Allah, it's the highest sin, the biggest sin that you could commit. In Islam, we are taught that it is association of partnership with Allah. But Allah says, if you're alive and you're breathing and you're okay and you seek forgiveness from it, I will still forgive you. The only time that forgiveness, Allah says He won't do it, is for a person who died without seeking forgiveness. So if you and I had to pass away, May Allah grant us a good death at a time when He's pleased with us. Ameen. If we were to pass away, the things we sought forgiveness for would have been wiped out already. When we repeat the tawbah or repeat the repentance, it's not because we're doubting that Allah has or has not forgiven us, but rather it is out of us being shy or ashamed or repetition just to confirm. You actually achieve a higher rank, but the forgiveness happened the first time you asked Allah's forgiveness. Say someone committed adultery and they committed this major sin and they regretted it. Regret is a sign of belief. You will only regret if you have a connection with Allah. If you don't have a connection with Allah, there's no regret. You regret it because you know, I shouldn't have done this. I made a mistake. The minute you say, oh Allah, forgive me, I was wrong. Help me not to do this again. I promise. Allah says, you're forgiven. What did you just commit? A major sin. You're forgiven. But now, a day later, 2 days later, what happens? Shaitan comes to you and says, you're not forgiven. So you say, oh Allah, forgive me. Forgive me. I know you are most forgiving. Forgive me. We are asking the forgiveness of Allah. It should never be because we are doubting whether we were forgiven or not. No, no, we were forgiven. But it is only because we want to repeat it, because repetition is good. It keeps reminding us, I did something wrong. Allah has blessed me by helping me and guiding me towards seeking forgiveness. Allah changes your life. When a person's been leading their entire lives away from Allah, and one day they come in and they say, I bear witness that you are my Lord. Allah says, I love this so much. I delete all the bad you've ever done in the past. When you say, I bear witness, there is none worthy of worship but Allah. What are you doing? You're saying a shahada. Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wa ashhadu anna Muhammadan Rasulullah. I bear witness there is none worthy of worship besides Allah. I bear witness that Muhammad, peace be upon him, is his messenger or his worshipper, his slave. Innal Islam yajubbu ma qabla. The hadith says, when you enter the fold of Islam, it deletes everything bad or negative or sinful that you did before that point. It's wiped out. So a young guy came to me once, and you might have heard me say this before, and he tells me, I feel like exiting Islam and coming back to Islam. It didn't make sense. I'm trying to think, why would he say this? So I asked him, why? Why do you want to leave and come back? And he said, because when I hear of the virtue of a person who's come to Islam, I feel I'm a born Muslim, I did wrong, I seek the forgiveness of Allah, but I want to be pure, I want to be a person whom the past is deleted for them. So if I go out and come back in, perhaps I'll start off with a new leaf. I'll have turned over a new leaf. Are you understanding what he's trying to say? I said, listen, my son. I looked at him and I felt his pain. I felt his pain and I felt the seriousness of him turning to Allah. I said, do you know that when you engage in sincere repentance, you get exactly the same reward? At-ta'ibu min adh-dhanbi kaman la dhanba lah. At-tawbatu tajubbu ma qablaha. You seek forgiveness, it will wipe out whatever happened before it. You turn back to Allah, it is as though you did not commit the sin. When you repent from a sin, you become equivalent to the one who did not commit the sin. So one might ask, well then what's the point? I rather just commit sin and say, oh Allah, forgive me. Because if I am the same as a person who's never committed a sin, let me tell you, a bonus that a person who's steadfast would get is something that Allah alone will reward. When I come with my good deed on the day of judgment, Allah will multiply it. مَنْ جَاءَ بِالْحَسَنَةِ فَلَهُ عَشْرُ أَمْثَالِهَا. Whoever comes with a good deed on the day of judgment and you brought it. Say, for example, I'm picturing a man with a sack and all his good deeds in the sack. I'm just picturing it, right? It's not going to be the case, but obviously. But imagine he comes and he puts forth the sack and opens it all bare. And he's come. He reached here. And now that he's reached here, we're going to treat him differently. The same applies to you and I. If you make it to the day of judgment with your good deed, that's when Allah says, I will now multiply it for you. Why? Because it's very difficult to keep a good deed once you've engaged in it. We gave our charities, mashallah, we gave thousands, alhamdulillah. A lot has happened, but it's not easy for me to keep that good deed, because the minute you backbite someone, something goes away. The minute you slandered someone, something goes away. The minute you wronged someone, something goes away. So when you get to the day of judgment, you might not find those deeds. Where did they go? You did a lot of prayer. You did a lot of charity. You went for Hajj. You did so much of sacrifice for the sake of Allah. Someone else got the reward, because on that day, the currency is deeds. So the payment of the bad you did would be your deeds. They would go. So Allah Almighty says, do not allow yourself to wrong a fellow human in the way that your deeds are going to go. If you have done something, go to them and apologize. Sister, I'm so sorry. I said some really nasty things about you. I forwarded some ugly messages about you. I really had some... You know what? They might forgive you. Inshallah, I hope they will. Subhanallah, Rabbil Alameen. I hope they will. But not everyone will forgive you. Some of them will say, I'll see you on the day of judgment. Have you heard people say that? I will see you on the day of judgment. We will fix this on the day of judgment. That's what they say. Is that answer okay? Is it okay? Why are you saying no? It is okay. It's their right. They have a right. If you've wronged someone and you say, forgive me, they have a right to say okay or no, right? We are encouraged to say okay. We are encouraged that when someone comes to seek forgiveness, we are encouraged to say, just forgive them. Allah tells Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiallahu anhu in Surah An-Nur to forgive Mistah ibn Athatha for spreading rumors about his daughter, the mother of the believers, Aisha radiallahu anha, regarding a sin she didn't commit. And Allah says, وَلْيَعْفُوا وَلْيَصْفَحُوا أَلَا تُحِبُّونَ أَن يَغْفِرَ اللَّهُ لَكُمْ وَاللَّهُ غَفُورٌ رَّحِيمٌ. Forgive. Embrace. It's okay. Let it go. Would you not like Allah to let you go, to forgive you, etc., etc.? Well, forgive them. Allah forgive you. It will become easier. You did some things wrong against Allah. Allah says He will forgive you. That person did something wrong against you. You forgave them. When you forgave them, Allah saw the quality of mercy in your heart, and His quality of mercy is the highest. So He will prove to you that He's way more merciful than you could ever be. And therefore He will say, I forgive you too. You forgave that person. That's one of the reasons that you're encouraged. But if you want to say, no, I'm not going to forgive, it's your right. It's your right. You can come on the day of judgment and say, I have a bone to pick with this person. In fact, they will tell that to you before you tell that to them. Right? However, there's another reason. What is the other reason? The other reason you're encouraged to forgive is because if you are getting paradise, right? If you're getting paradise, don't worry about what other people are getting. Let them get paradise too. It's okay. It's okay. Someone's wronged you and they say, forgive me. I will forgive them not because I think they deserve to be forgiven, but I will forgive them because I believe that if I am earning paradise, let them be there too. It's okay, they're human. They must be Muslim in most cases, family members in most cases, in-laws in a lot of cases, right? Astaghfirullah, sorry about that. But people whom you came to interact with later on, forgive, it's okay. I'll forgive because Allah loves those who forgive. And I'll forgive because if I'm going to go to paradise, let them come too. Now, imagine you have a person who's wronged you. You want to tell them, I forgive you, but you fear that they might repeat whatever they've done. They could repeat it. Someone slandered you, was backbiting about you, did something against you, and then they come to you and say, forgive me. Say, don't worry, forgiven. Oh, they might just do it again. If there's fear that they might do it again, you don't have to communicate the forgiveness to them. I'm forgiving this person, releasing them from my side without telling them you're actually released. Let them live a life thinking they're not forgiven. How's that? He says cheeky, but it could serve a purpose. I'm not saying that's the ideal. It's not the ideal. But if you feel they're going to come back and do something, maybe it might be the second or third time, then you can just say, we'll see. That's okay. Leave it and keep going. So at least they can live in a constant sort of a worry. I don't want to wrong this person, rather than just say, forgiven. Now, I have a policy. And I'm going to tell you something, because we learn and we read the hadith, the Quran, and what the scholars have said and what the Sahaba radiallahu anhum before them have actually said. The scholars from among the Sahaba, they were scholars. A lot of them knew a lot. And that's how we got our deen. And I learned one thing. You see where you are today. Are you not in a better position than your forefathers were, or your parents or grandparents were? Do you know your great-grandparents? Or let's say your grandparents. Do you know your grandparents? Pause for a moment and put them in your mind. And think to yourself, look at the condition they lived on earth. And look at my condition I'm living on earth. Am I not in a much better position than they were? Let's be honest. Almost 99 to 100% of us will say, yes, you're right. Yes, you're right. I'm in a much better position. So I'm in such a brilliant position that Allah's put me in. How did you get here? Let me tell you how you got here. You got here because of Allah's design and plan for you. Somehow something happened. There could have been a problem. There could have been a war zone. There could have been fighting, killing. There could have been whatever. Or you could have been born in this area. Maybe your folks came in to do business or to settle or whatever it might have been. Or you could be originally from here, whatever it was. Allah's plan, as you grew up, you interacted, you went to certain schools, you mixed with certain people. Some were very nice, some were not very nice. Some you hardly knew, some you knew very well. From among those you knew very well, some betrayed you, some continue to betray you. With all of that put together, today you are where you are. No point in holding things in your heart. I am where I am today with the haters. So I thank Allah for them. And I don't want them to reverse and go back and delete. Don't. It is only with your hate that Allah allowed us to be where we are. Follow what I'm saying. If you didn't want them, you would not be here. How do I know this? Because that's part of Allah's plan. He did it with the prophets of Allah. Jesus, may peace be upon him. Do you know what slander his own people leveled against his mother and him? Musa alayhi salam. What did the Pharaoh say to him and the others? Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. What did his people say about him? Did they not call him a womanizer? Did they not say he was after money? Did they not say he was after authority? Did they not call him a madman? Did they not call him a magician? Did they not call him all sorts of names? What happened? They were affected negatively. They dropped. What happened to him? He kept on going up. So tonight I want to teach you something. When negativity comes in your direction, take it in your stride. Thank Allah. Thank Allah. Keep moving. You're going to fly very, very high. They would never have hated on you if you did not have anything. Never. You would be so insignificant. You wouldn't have had, that people wouldn't even look at your direction. They say, nobody kicks a dead dog. The dog is dead. So if something happens in your life and has happened, don't hold too much. You'll become unwell. You let it go, leave it, release it. You're encouraged to release it. Allah Almighty says, وَجَزَاءُ سَيِّئَةٍ سَيِّئَةٌ مِثْلُهَا. When someone has done evil, the recompense of something evil is something similar back. Someone slapped you can slap him back. Someone did something, you can do it back. It's your right. But what does Allah say immediately after that? فَمَنْ عَفَى وَأَصْلَحَ فَأَجْرُهُ عَلَى اللَّهِ. Whoever forgives, forgoes, their reward will be with Allah. If Allah has encouraged something and rewards it in the Akhirah, He will reward it in this world too. There has to be a reason why Allah encouraged you to let go. You have a problem with your brother, your sister, your family, whoever. Try your best to resolve it. Yes, if it is toxic, like sometimes we talk to people generally, but there are some examples where this doesn't fit. I had a case where a father raped a daughter, and then we were talking about the rights of parents and rights of parents, and this person later on sent me an email to say, I did not appreciate what you said because I was raped by my own father. Well, if that is the case, it's the exception from what we're saying. I hope you understand where I'm going. Because we speak in general terms, if there is a case between brothers and sisters that's beyond the level of, you know, it becomes criminal, then sorry, we're not talking about that. May Allah make it easy. Then you might want to seek specific guidance on the matter from people you trust and whom you believe would have your best interest at heart. But if you don't forgive generally and you hold everything within you, you are not going to develop as a person. You become unwell. You don't enjoy your food, your drink. You don't want to see people. You don't want to interact with people. Allah knows where He made you. Allah knows where He caused your birth. He knows your family. Look at your sister, your brother, and tell yourself, Allah chose them for me. So I'm going to navigate through as difficult as it's going to be with these parents or with these children or with these siblings. It's not easy. Some of us have children, and sometimes some of those children may lead a life that's not something you would like to see. Not something you'd like to see. I had youngsters come to me with that fluffy mop cut. You know the mop cut on the hair? Masha, some of you might have it. What did you say? What's mop cut? I'm glad you don't know. Don't even find out. Looks like a mop. It could turn you the other way around and mop the floor. But nonetheless, so the father looks at me and says, look at this. I said, what's wrong with his hair? He says, astaghfirullah, I thought you would say something. No? I say, listen, you picking on his hair. He's such a lovely child. Let him enjoy this hair. For as long as it's not qaza within what the Prophet has prohibited, leave it. It's minor. He's not on drugs. He's not an alcoholic. He doesn't gamble. He doesn't go to the clubs. He's not a dirty guy. He's so well presented. He's in the sense that he comes across so polite. He greets. He's helpful. Appreciate him. Come on. Hey, what's the big deal? You follow what I'm saying? You're going to pick on everything. You're going to distance him from you. He won't want to come in your presence. Why? Hey, dad's there. He's going to pick on my hair. Or in the middle of summer, he's going to be wearing a beanie. Am I right? He's going to be wearing a hat on his head, big warm hat or whatever hat it may be. Why? Because I don't want my dad to see. Why should there be that relationship? Let it be cool. Let it be a decent relationship. And if, for example, they've gotten to something that's prohibited, really, you can guide them, inshallah, in a beautiful way. Sorry, the young boys with a mop cut, you can come back, bro. You can have a seat. You guys walking away. You're upset with what I said. No, bro, I love your hair. Don't worry, Habibi, inshallah. No, seriously, they're walking off. No. Barakallah. So, to be honest, the point I'm raising is, you know, to hold things within your heart and to keep things on your shoulders, it's not a good idea. Let go as much as you can. Allah chose the people around you, and Allah knows who they are and what their temperament is. Sometimes Allah wants you to earn your paradise through navigating a tough relationship that you have no option but to have. What do I mean by no option? If it's a spouse and it goes beyond 5 red lines, you can get out of that. Not even 5, the first red line, you can walk out. The second red line, if you have tried and it can't, and I can't tell you got to stay, and I can't tell you got to go. That's up to you. You got to know, did you try your best? Is this the last resort? It is, then you can walk out. It's a blessing sometimes. But we're talking about the relationships. You've got no option. That's my brother, man. That's my mom. That's my father. That's my child. That's my sibling. What could I do? Nothing. Allah knows it. You're going to have to navigate through it. Sometimes navigation could mean one step back. I took a step back. Why? I don't want to have so much to do with them because it's so toxic. But I'm going to be good. I'm going to be polite. I'm going to try my best and so on. And that will help you be a positive person. a happy person, content person. Why? I don't have baggage, not too much baggage. Whenever I fly, they say 23 kilos. Have you heard that? Yes, 23 is a big bonus. Some of these airlines say no luggage. You've got to pay for everything. You seen those ones in England? They call them, well, let me not mention names. Just now, it might offend people. Whenever I see the restriction on luggage, I always remember a lecture I heard years back where the speaker was saying that, you know what? We also have to take luggage into the hereafter. Take the least you can. The least you can. A little bit. I don't need more. Let it go. Have a good heart. It's okay. I'm a happy person. Alhamdulillah, Allah's given me, bestowed upon me. You'll feel better. You will actually, people would love to be in your company. I'll give you an example of my mother. A lovely lady. My own mother. My kids, every time, I hope she doesn't ever hear this. But mind you, she's got a phone now and she knows how it works, even though she's almost 90, mashallah. But I tell you what, the kids, every time they come in and she would, out of love, she would say this and say that. And so the kids don't want to go, right? And I'm surprised, that's granny, come on. I spend every evening, I go home and sit for an hour or two with my mom and dad when I'm at home. It has to happen. I don't force anyone else to come with me because of my parents. But I'd love it if they did come. But end of the day, I'm the one who's gone. The kids, there was a time when they wouldn't want to come. And what was the reason? I got to the bottom of it, and it's because you're picking on things. What did I do? Sat my mom down and explained to her, you know what, at this age, you don't need to pick on anyone. Because why? If you'd love to see your grandkids, all of them around you, happy, and everyone coming home and hugging you, and, you know, really having a ball of a time with you, and so, just mashallah, you smile, and anything you need to tell them, tell me, I'll tell them. How's that? I'll be the bad person. And guess what? It transformed the whole relationship from slightly negative or getting negative to something very positive. Today, whoa, we're going to, you know, Gran's house. Wow, let's go. Subhanallah. May Allah Almighty grant us ease. May Allah Almighty bless us. The reason I say this is when you pick on people for everything, they won't even want to come to you. The world is different. Today, you have challenges. Everyone is living in an environment. You don't know what environment they're living in. As a result of that, they might be pressured to dressing a certain way, to doing certain things, and so on. I'll give you a quick example. I am 50. Years ago, when we were little, like 5, 7, I don't remember a single female with makeup. Honestly. What happened? The world changed. Now there's so much pressure on people that you must paint yourself. So those who don't actually have 5 inches, wallahi, they're doing so much better than those who've got 5 and 10 inches on. And I always say, pick up your phone and have it on face recognition. And if it recognizes you, khalas, it's okay. If it doesn't recognize you, it's a bit much. It's a bit much, you know. Because try and tell them, don't do it. Try and tell them, don't do it. They'll tell you, are you for real? It's okay. You can have a blemish or two. You can have a mark or two. You want to do a little bit, you know, maybe a few marks, but don't overdo things. The only thing, as a father and a grandfather, the only thing I would like to say is don't overdo things. You know, you need to know, carry yourself with a level of respect. Carry yourself with dignity and learn to love yourself. Learn to love yourself. I've said it every day of my life. Learn to love yourself the way you are. That's it. If you don't, you're going to end up doing things that you're going to regret. Because you become enslaved. And when you're enslaved, whatever you're enslaved by will keep changing. You know, the norms of the world are different. You know, I remember when we were kids, the men used to wear something called bell bottoms. Do you know what those are? Bell bottoms. In the 1970s and 80s, you don't know them, don't worry. They were out of fashion, they came back in fashion. And then they went out of fashion, and I tell you what, because I'm talking about it, one day, it'll probably come back in fashion, right? The same applies to motor vehicles. We used to have round lights on the cars. They shifted from round to rectangular, rectangular to square, square to LED, and now there's some cars with round lights again. And what's the idea? Well, it's just human. So if you're going to be enslaved by that, you're going to keep rotating. You're not going to like what you did. And I don't even want to go to the area of fillers and Botox and whatnot. And I don't even want to go there because I don't want to talk too much about it. All I want to say is, carry yourself with dignity. Don't overdo things. Learn to love yourself. Wallahi, the one who loves you as you are is the one who deserves to be with you. The one who doesn't, trust me, you don't need them closer to you. Not at all. Learn to love yourself as you are, by the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So as you forgive others, you need to appreciate yourself. And you will learn that Allah has blessed me. One of the favors of Allah upon you is your ability to forgive others. It's a very big favor. And like I said, it's more to do with releasing the tension and stress that you have than the others. I don't need to associate. I have people who have wronged me so badly, but it's okay. I pray for them for Jannah. May Allah grant them Jannah. We'll go there and laugh about what happened on earth. But they've wronged me and continue perhaps to wrong me to this day. I promise you, I want goodness for them. And I don't mind, because what they would ever do wouldn't really change what Allah's chosen in terms of the path for us. But by releasing it, I'm a happy, healthy person. You mix with me, you come with me, and with all others who are similar. And you'll find a lot of positive. You would never guess. If I were to tell you some of the issues I have, you do not have those issues or in anything near in terms of things. If you want to know what I've been through in my life, you will weep, you will cry. It will hurt you. No, it's okay. It happened. We release for the love of Allah. What hasn't He given us? What hasn't He given us? He has favored us. He's given. People have stolen money. People have wronged us so deep. I don't even want to get into detail because I don't even want to hurt them. Leave it. You hurt me, it's okay. I'm not going to hurt you. You see, Yusuf alayhi salam, that story where the brothers did whatever they did and so on. What happened at the end? What did he do? He says, forgive them. لَا تَثْرِيبَ عَلَيْكُمُ الْيَوْمَ يَغْفِرُ اللَّهُ لَكُمْ وَهُوَ أَرْحَمُ الرَّاحِمِينَ. He says, no retribution against you today. Allah will forgive you. He is the most forgiving, most merciful. It's okay, you can go. The Prophet ﷺ, Quraysh, on the day of victory of Makkah, a statement that really moves me. Quraysh had killed Muslims. They drove them out of their homes. They stole their property. They did whatever they did. They harmed so much. And this was the victory of Makkah, where the Muslim army is marching into Makkah. And they knew the Muslims were just. You want to talk about the most moral? The Muslims, the most moral ever. The Prophet ﷺ, at a time of war, the justice and the goodness and the kindness was unmatched. He comes and he's standing and the same enemies are all in front of him. I was telling someone the other day that, you know, when we interact with people, be humble. I say, when the Prophet ﷺ was entering Makkah victorious, you know, if it was anyone else, they would... Guys, I'm the winner. We won. Yeah. You know, you win a little match in the boxing ring. First round, you knocked out your opponent. And next best thing, you like the most arrogant guy on earth. It shouldn't be. Humble, humble. Calm down. Praise Allah. Praise Allah. Thank Allah. The Prophet ﷺ put his head down on the neck of his camel as though he was in sujood. And he came in with so much of humility into Makkah. And he knew victory is ours. Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anhu walking into Jerusalem. The narrations have a lot. And one of the narrations states that he was walking with one of his helpers. And at the time of entry into Jerusalem, because they had one animal, they were taking turns to sit on it. And it was the turn of the helper or the servant. And he says, no, you get up, because now we're going to enter the city. We're going to enter the city. And as we enter the city, they need to know you are the leader. He says, no, it's your turn. Jump up. He walked holding this animal entering Jerusalem, and everyone's greeting the servants, the people who didn't know. And here come the Muslimin and they're greeting Amirul Mu'mineen. Justice. Justice. So the Prophet ﷺ comes in And Quraysh is waiting. Some of them ran away, they're hiding. But then they all had to gather to listen to what this leader had to say. Ya ma'shara Quraysh, O people of Quraysh, ماذا تظنون أني فاعل بكم? What do you think I'm going to do to you today? What a powerful question. Imagine someone, you've hurt them, harmed them, and the day you have the capacity to crush them completely and you ask them, what do you think I'm going to do to you today? What did they have to say? Nothing. They didn't know what to say. Some of them said, well, you're a good man. Now suddenly you're a good man, right? Up to now I was not a good man. You know? اذهبوا فأنتم الطلقاء. Go, all of you, you are free. How difficult do you think that would have been? People who've murdered, people who've destroyed, people who've stolen, people who've usurped. And here is the messenger saying, go, all of you are free. It's okay. They were stunned. That gesture alone turned a lot of them towards him and towards the deen of Allah. We are not prepared to forgive a family member. You don't have to get up and say, idhabu fa antumut tulaqa. It's not even on that level whatsoever. But just, you know, that's your brother. You know, you have talk, communicate. As painful and difficult as it is, talk, communicate, try again and again. After they've given up, you've given up, try again. I remember a case where people blocked each other. And I'm a counselor for the last 25 years, since 1999. And I tell you something, a case where people had blocked each other, siblings. And I remember saying, brother, keep trying. Nobody's blocked me. I said, keep trying. Nobody doesn't want to hear. They've threatened. I said, keep trying. You know what? That's your brother. Keep trying. And a few years later, he told me, you know what? We have become so close and inseparable. I don't know whose dua it is. I said, together with the dua, it's also the trial. Allah puts barakah in the trial. You will be rewarded for trying, even if they don't reciprocate it. Many times you want to make peace. They don't want to make peace. You're going for Hajj. You know what they do for Hajj? They send a message and they say, Alhamdulillah, Allah has chosen us to go for Hajj. We are so grateful. We want to ask you to forgive us for anything we may have said or done. I always reply and say, is there anything you said or did? Because I don't know of anything. Because you can't just have a wholesale message. You didn't just go to Costco or somewhere. It's got to be retail. You've got to actually message one by one. Brother, I have said a few things about you that were not so nice. Please forgive me. Straight up. And the brother says, don't worry, you're forgiven. Allahu Akbar. Or sometimes they might want to say you're not forgiven. Well, if they say you're not forgiven, you have hard work. I've had people come to me and say, but I'm going for Hajj. How dare he don't forgive me? I mean, come on, how could you say that? Going for Hajj, that means you can whack everybody, do whatever you want with all, and then just announce, I'm going for Hajj, guys. That's not how it works. So, yes, we're encouraged to forgive. And we will forgive. It's a family member. You got to work. You got to work hard. You got to try. Make an effort. And then you need to know that Allah chose these people in your life. Allah chose them. He put them there. You need to earn your paradise through navigating that relationship. That's how you will earn your paradise. Sometimes your paradise is because you have a difficult person that you can't really do anything about in terms of going further than a certain point because of how close proximity Allah put them to you. You're going to have to navigate. Maybe that's your ticket to Jannah. Imagine when you die, and you get to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and they're taking accounts and you're told, no accounts for you. Keep going. How? I'm such a sinful person. And you're wondering, guess what? It was your patience you bore with a person you didn't have an option with but to bear the patience. Wow. Whoever it might be.
إنما يوفى الصابرون أجرهم بغير حساب.
Those who bear patience, Allah says, we recompense them with a reward that is unlimited. When you see it, you will think to yourself, why wasn't I in that condition for a longer time? I would have got a higher rank in paradise. You're sick and ill. Get medication, try your best. Do whatever, have hope in the mercy of Allah. Very powerful message. Have hope even if you're terminally ill. And even if you watch yourself deteriorating, have hope and call out to Allah, believing that He can create the miracle. Because even if you die as a result, and even if you were getting worse, the hope alone is an act of worship. The fact that you believed Allah could cure you, He will say, I knew you were going to die, but you believed in me so strongly, for you is paradise, no reckoning, eternal bliss, highest rank. You're going to say to yourself, I wish I was ill a little bit longer and had a bit more hope. What are you struggling with? Cancer? May Allah cure you. What have the doctors said? 6 days, 6 weeks to live. I know someone and many people who are living years on. But you still got to die somewhere without the cancer. So when we say, may Allah cure you, ultimately I got to go. I got to go. You got to go. It's just when you go, how do you want to go? Very important question. Would you like to go when you're done with a life of say 80 years or so, between 80 and 100? People say, yeah, that sounds good. You want a healthy life, right? Yeah, that sounds good. You got to watch how you eat then. You got to exercise every day. You got to be disciplined, and you got to sleep at night. Put your phone aside. And I'm honest. I'm dead serious with what I just said now. If Allah wants to take you, He'll take you before, even if you're healthy. And if He wants, He can keep you for longer, even if you're unhealthy. But say you want to live for so many years, then what? Is it better to go after a nice long life, or is it better to go whenever Allah is pleased with you, even if you're 18? Tough one, right? Say, well, okay, I know that Allah should be pleased with me, then I should go, but let's make it a little bit more than 18. Come on, 18, I'm young, I'm not even married yet. I remember when I was young, we were little boys. In fact, one of the guys sitting here, I don't know where he is right now, Siraj. We were in school together for 7 years. I went to pick him up from his home and said, I'm here, I'm going to take you to this event, let's go. And we were little boys, and we're thinking, do you think we'll die before we ever get married? Come on, what a question. See the guy smiling. I think you guys are not married yet, yeah? Inshallah, you will. Look at us today. We are grandfathers. Allah, I've got 4 grandchildren. Subhanallah. So my brothers and sisters, the point is, would you like a long life or would you like the happiness of Allah? A true answer is we'd like a bit of both, inshallah. Right? It's fair. I'd like to lead a life where Allah is pleased with me. I'm going to try my best, inshallah. And at the same time, I want to see at least my children settle a little bit. You know, it's good to see, especially a lot of us want to see our kids, our sons and daughters, perhaps, you know, the fact that they settled a bit in life. But do you know the disease? By default, you see all your children, say you've got 4 kids and they're all married now. Now what do you want life for? Quickly say it. Grandkids. And then what do you want? Now you can play. I've played with my grandkids. Oh, they call you a nani or a dadi or jaddo or jiddo or whatever it might be. It's fine. Can I tell you what? Then you want to see them grow older. Then you want to see them getting married. Where does it stop? When they get married, you say, my grandchild's going to be having, inshallah, they're expecting a baby. And you're saying, oh Allah, let me at least see the baby and go away. You're going to see the baby and then you're going to tell the angel, I saw the baby. Khalas. I mean, that's not how it works. That's not how it works. You're going to see the baby, then you're going to want to see the baby grow, and it doesn't stop. So Allah says, we'll stop it where we want to stop it. So make a dua. Oh Allah, give me a good, healthy life where you keep me within your obedience content and take me away when you know it's the best time for me to go and you're pleased with me. Allahu Akbar. Long dua. Say Ameen. May Allah grant us goodness. And I want to end tonight's talk because it's already 10 o'clock. I spoke for 45 minutes. Thanks for telling me 30 because I didn't listen. I mean, people have come from far and wide. They wanted to hear a talk, right? Yeah. And tomorrow's a Sunday. And Fajr is still a bit of a while for Fajr. You see, Allahu Akbar. Tonight, we spoke about forgiveness. Seeking the forgiveness of Allah. And learning to forgive one another and navigating through tough relations and the reward that you get when you bear patience, the reward that you get when you understand the decree of Allah, call out to Allah with conviction, even if it's not coming. You know, people at the moment in a war zone, say for example Lebanon, say for example Palestine, right now, imagine what they're going through. Imagine what is happening. They are being randomly destroyed, buildings coming down with hundreds, you don't even know how many people. You know when they say 40 dead, do you know how they count? Go and find out how they count. Only a body you've retrieved is allowed to be counted. That's it. So when they say 400, there's 400 bodies they found. What about the 4,000 they haven't even had a trace of because they dissolved or disappeared or evaporated? Because of weapons you're not allowed to use as a human being, like white phosphorus and so on. Can you imagine what type of dua they're going to be making? What type of hope or hopelessness? That is a tough one. May Allah strengthen them, grant them the highest ranks of Jannah. And may Allah make it easy for them. Imagine a dua and you see what's happening in front of you, behind you, on the side, and people are justifying it and people are laughing at it. And here we are and we don't even know. Where do you go? The ummah, I am helpless. You, no matter what you do, you have not done enough. No matter what I do, it will never be enough. It needs to stop. Are you a human? Those are cousins, Ismail and Ishaq. Those are brothers. Imagine where it's gone down to. Imagine if they were around to watch what's happening. Ibrahim alayhi salam. Imagine what would have happened. May Allah Almighty grant us forgiveness. So the conviction with which they would say, oh Allah, protect us, oh Allah, grant us. And they are saying, oh Allah, we know you will protect. And next thing, something happens and boom, they disappeared. Gone. Martyred. Allah says, because of the conviction with which you called out to us, we grant you the highest of ranks. There was conviction. We knew this was the time you had to go. And we knew that this was the way you had to go in order for you to get to where you ultimately had to go for the eternal bliss that would last forever and ever and ever. Subhanallah. Eternal bliss. So if I suffered in this world a bit or a lot, but I have eternal bliss, am I not better than a person who did not suffer at all? And then they have no eternal bliss. They suffer in the hereafter. I'm a human. I want to be reasonable. I want goodness here and goodness there. Allah knows this. That's why the dua that is taught to us in Surah Al-Baqarah, رَبَّنَا آتِنَا فِي الدُّنْيَا حَسَنَةً وَفِي الْآخِرَةِ حَسَنَةً. Oh Allah, we want goodness here. We want goodness there. I need a Ferrari here and I need... What do I want there? What? Ferrari there? There's no Ferraris in Jannah. Sorry, man. It's too crappy a car to be in Jannah, man. Allahu Akbar. Sorry, say it again. Can I tell you, if you had to have a Ferrari in paradise, you wouldn't want it. It doesn't qualify. The hadith says, you only get that which you didn't even imagine, because it's out of your imagination. That's it. If you've imagined something, it is not there, according to how you imagined it. It can't be there. It's not your imagination, your mind and your brain is not even full, in the sense that it is flawed. When Allah gives you the perfect mind and brain there in the hereafter, or whatever He's going to give you in terms of that, you will then realize that, you know what? Whatever was in this world was actually a deception. Imagine they gave it value, subhanAllah. When you came onto the earth, you came with nothing. When you're going, you're going to go with nothing. Whatever you found here is just a joke, man. It's just a joke. And we get excited and we get happy. But mashallah, may Allah grant us Jannah. I'm convinced by the will of Allah that He will have mercy on us. I don't believe, and I think we can all say this for ourselves, I don't believe we're evil. I think there's goodness in us. There's kindness. Look at us this evening. How much did we give and donate? Even those who were unable to. I'm sure there was a dua. The fact that we've gathered here to hear a good word and so on, it's already a sign. There's goodness in the heart. Don't be too hard on yourself to make yourself think that I'm a little Satan. No, you're not. You're a good person. You have goodness in you. Build it. Work on it. Inshallah, you'll grow slowly, slowly and surely. You become better and better, such that the day you meet with Allah, you you will be on your best. And Allah will forgive you and He will give you Jannah by His mercy. Yes, we are concerned, we are worried, we do fear the punishment of Allah. But as I said in the past, the fear of Allah is more fearing Him. A fear that is born out of love. You want me to quickly explain that? Fear Allah. People say Allah is most loving, most kind and so on. So why should I be scared of Him? Why should I fear Allah when He's so loving, so kind, so merciful? I remember on TikTok, I was scrolling and I saw someone say, "Don't tell me to do this. Allah will understand. Allah will understand. Allah." You know, that's a statement that you can say. If you're saying it in order to get away with halal and haram, then you have a problem. If you want to get away with something haram that you've done, and you're saying, "Don't worry, Allah will understand," then you have a problem. But if you're saying it when you're seeking forgiveness and you know you have a human weakness and so on, then it's something that inshallah we hope Allah will forgive. So what is the meaning of the term fear that is born out of love? Quickly, if you love someone so much, so dearly, think of someone in your mind whom you love so dearly, right? You got someone in your mind? Halal or haram? Halal, that's the way. Yeah, we got simply nikah here, by the way. Okay, think of someone you love so dearly, right? Would you ever do something that would destroy the relation or make them upset or anger them? Would you? You wouldn't want to. What does that mean? You are scared of doing something that would anger them. Exactly, Allah. I love Him so much that I'm scared. I fear doing something that might anger Him. In the case of Allah, Allah doesn't get hurt. He's not hurt. No ways. Hurt is for human beings. But what is meant here is it's going to cause a rift in the relationship between you and that person. In the case of Allah, it will cause a rift in the relationship between you and Allah. More so on your side. So this is what is meant by saying, when you say fear Allah, what you mean is you need to love Allah so much that you would not do what you're doing because you love Him. Now do you understand what is meant by a fear that is born out of love? And that's how we fear Allah, fear the punishment of Allah and so on. May Allah grant us goodness. I've spoken so much, but inshallah, I'm going to be coming back to Birmingham inshallah. By His will and mercy, I want to thank you all for sitting here for so long. To me, this seemed like about 20 minutes, 25 minutes. But guess what? We spoke for about 50 minutes or more. Allahu Akbar. Barakallahu feekum. See you guys soon again. You can see I don't want to leave from here, but it felt like 5 hours. Come on, you could have given me a bit of credit there. He says it felt like 5 hours. I'm so sorry, Habibi. MashaAllah. Would you like to come up, man? Shake my hand, bro. MashaAllah. Allahu Akbar. What's your name?
My name is Hashi.
Your name is what?
Hashi.
Okay, everyone wants to listen to you speak until Fajr. MashaAllah. Would you like to come here? MashaAllah, okay, you can have a seat. Barakallahu feek. Jazakumullah khaira. Qulu qawli hadha wa sallallahu wa sallam ala nabina Muhammad wa sallamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.